bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba.
Tuesday. Welcome to a Tuesday. Second day of the week. Enjoy yourself.
Who talks that way? Nobody talks that way.
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz does talk that way.
Yes.
Yep. Circle gets the square, Wendy. Wally Cox to block, please.
Wow, I can't talk like Wally Cox. Can you do a Wally Cox? It's hard to do a Wally Cox.
I just saw him in a
Walter
video.
Walter Cox, as he should have been known, as right. We talked about on the regular show.
Do you know who his best friend and roommate was when
yes.
he was a young actor in New York City?
Yes, but I darn it cannot remember.
Oh, come on.
You're the king of all trivia, and you throw these little bits and pieces out there, and they come back to me, but this one is not.
Wally Cox, best known...
Charles Bronson.
For three things, not Charles Bronson.
But that would have been a good guess, like a good matchup.
Oh, such a good guess. But the real answer
Marlon
is
Brando.
Stranger. Yes, it's Marlon Brando.
See?
It's Marlon Brando.
You are a part of me, Bill.
Wally Cox is probably best known for one of three things. He played Mr. Peepers, of course, on the TV show Mr. Peepers. He was the voice of Underdog. And he was a perennial favorite on Hollywood Squares. Would you say those are the three things that
And he was in a really good Twilight Zone episode.
Good Twilight Zone episode. Good Dick Van Dyke episode.
I don't
recall
that.
He was in Dick Van Dyke episode. But as meek as he was, and I say that very complimentary.
He was.
He was best friends with the very brawny Marlon Brando. Strange.
They went to college together or something?
I think they took acting classes together, if the story is right.
Talk about separate
polar
ends of
opposites.
The spectrum.
Yeah. I just saw him in a video because, do you remember a show? This is strange that we're talking about this because off air we were just talking about Disney, all things Disney. Do you remember a show called The Mouse Factory?
Vaguely.
Which, strangely, was on in the same lineup as The Night Gallery, which we talked about yesterday. Mouse Factory was on Wednesdays on NBC, 7 o'clock, Wendy.
You're like the human TV guide. I wish you were my friend back then, because we only
if
got...
If you lost your TV guide, you could call me and go, what's on Thursday at 7:30?
Yes.
And I would tell you.
And my mom never wanted to subscribe to it, so we just got the cheap one that was
TV
in...
TV Preview.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I bet your family got TV Guide.
We had TV
Guide. We
had TV Guide and TV Preview, and we went to Bozo, and I'm ambidextrous.
Why do you hurt me so?
Coming up roses. So The Mouse Factory was a half-hour show that had to do with Disney. They would have a theme, and they would show you, like, if the
was it cartoon?
It was a combination. It was some cartoon snippets, some live action.
Like our version, like a Mickey Mouse version of our Ray Rayner, kind of?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, that's fair. But they would always have a guest star on, and I just watched part of an episode with Wally Cox less than
really?
A week ago. So very strange that he would come up. Because my guess is in other parts of Chicago in the radio, they're probably not talking about Wally Cox.
Doubt it.
I'm guessing.
Dude, that's why we're on the stream.
Yeah, that's
because we go national.
Yes.
Worldly.
Yeah, worldly.
International.
Galactically.
All right.
Yeah.
I liked Wally Cox a lot. I thought he was...
great underdog.
He was.
Couldn't do better than Wally Cox.
Who was
underdog.
The voice of Polly Purebred? Have I stumped the panel? Oh, my God.
Sweet Polly Purebred, Wendy.
You don't know.
I'm going to say June Foray, but I may be wrong.
I bet you're right. And she did such other
She did
voices
many
as...
cartoon voices. But look it up. I want to say June Foray, but then I'm also thinking it could be, this is a long shot, but Penny Singleton.
All right, so you've given me two names, correct?
Yes. Could it be either of those women?
Let me see what I got. Mm-hmm. Polly Purebred was based on whom?
I don't know the answer to
Marilyn
that.
Monroe.
Was she really?
I guess
well,
now
I
that you
that.
Mentioned that, I did the same hairdo and everything.
Yeah, but she wasn't glamorous. Marilyn Monroe was glamorous.
Well, she was a dog. Other than
she
that,
wasn't, that's not nice, Wendy.
No, I
that's
mean she was
nice.
Literally a dog. Where
yeah,
is
she? Wasn't married to Joe DiMaggio or Arthur Miller?
Norma McMillan.
Yeah, I would not have. That's out of my range.
Will you remember this for
Norma
the next
McMillan?
Time?
Yes.
Norma McMillan.
I will.
Norma McMillan was a native of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Oh.
It was there that she met worked with and married her producer-manager husband, Thor Arngrim.
Oh, she was married to Thor.
Thor Arngrim had started the now legendary but short-lived Totem Theater Company in 1951.
When she met him, she walked up to him at a party and she goes, "Are you Thor?" And he goes, "I'm a little chafed."
I didn't want to give you the satisfaction of a laugh,
you couldn't help it.
You truly got me to LOL right there.
Victory is mine.
It's usually not that hard, no, but I didn't want to give it to you for some reason.
Don't fight it.
Because then I'll be Thor. I don't know. I'm trying to find out about her because we should know a little bit more.
I don't know anything about Norma McMillan.
She did a variety of children's voices.
In Vancouver or elsewhere?
On the morning radio, she played the more saccharine roles, while in the evening her talents were employed for playing, as she described them, the disturbed children roles.
Oh, interesting.
She was on Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Was she the voice of Wendy?
No. It says, later on, after she and her husband moved to New York, McMillan culled from the cartoon industry the voice of Casper the Friendly Ghost. She did Casper.
Really? Wait, Casper?
Look it up.
Sweet Polly Purebred, same person.
She also lent her voice to characters on The Gumby Show. In addition to these famous roles, McMillan was the voice of John John and Caroline Kennedy in the perhaps infamous recordings of First Family Records. And
that's where I know her from. I'm just putting it together.
You are the only one that remembers that.
I'm just now putting that together. That's fantastic. Norma McMillan.
Yeah, that's who she is. So it turns out
you've heard the First Family albums,
no,
right?
No. What is that about?
All right. There was a man named Vaughn Meter who did this dead on perfect. You couldn't do a better impression of a guy than he did of John F. Kennedy.
You told me about him. I had never heard of him.
It was amazing. So he put together this album, two of them, about the Kennedys, where he played John F. Kennedy, and they found a woman who was just like Jack. And he didn't even just sound like him. He looked like him. He had everything going for him. And the story goes that on November 22nd, 1963, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Lenny Bruce took to a stage somewhere in New York, and his first line was, "Well, Vaughn Meter's done." That was his opening joke, which is horrible.
But it's pretty funny.
Well, it's timely. The kids today would yell too soon, and they would storm out of the club. But back then, they were just looking for something, Wendy.
This says Cecil Roy did the voice of Casper.
Now, that's a name I've heard before. Cecil Roy I've heard of before.
All right, well, I don't know about Norma McMillan, but she was...
We're getting a lot of texts. Hey, back to Wally Cox. Several texters. Enough with this. We want more Wally Cox.
Well, she did the voice of John John and Caroline.
Yes,
and the
knew
most
that.
Visible acting role was the part she played in the 1980s as the sweet, demure Aunt Martha opposite Ruth Manning's Aunt Harriet for Kraft Food mayonnaise commercials.
Those were great.
Though she died at the age of 79, she never stopped working, even upon returning to Vancouver. She did something. Both her children enjoyed the limelight as children. Her daughter, Allison Arngrim.
Oh, from Little House on the Prairie.
Played Nellie.
That was her granddaughter?
That was her daughter.
Her daughter.
And her son, Stephen Arngrim, played Barry Lockridge in Land of the Giants.
Really?
I love when you don't know stuff. I'm sorry. I like to be the Bill F. teacher for one day. Norma McMillan.
If I was Allison Arngrim from Little House on the Prairie, a day wouldn't go by that I wouldn't tell somebody that my mother was the voice of Sweet Polly Purebred and Underdog. That would be my opening line. I would just walk up to people and I go, "Excuse me, did I mention my mom was Sweet Polly Purebred and Underdog?"
She was also Aunt Gumby in The Gumby Show.
Oh, she was.
And I don't know what the Casper thing is. I must have read that incorrectly. She was not the voice of Casper.
Who did the voice of Simon Bar Sinister, does it say?
Weird Bill.
Underdog.
Simon Bar Sinister says.
Yes. Remember the one where he was going to steal all the oceans?
Yes, I honestly do.
What a mean man Simon Bar Sinister was. Underdog was only on for 3 or 4 years. But it lives in our hearts forever.
It does.
Forever and ever and ever.
I felt like there were so many episodes of it.
To this day, when somebody gives me a coin, I bite it just like Shoeshine Boy did.
That's the concept here. If you don't know what Underdog is, Shoeshine Puppy transforms himself into a superhero every time Sweet Polly Purebred gets in trouble.
Yes.
She's a TV reporter.
Yes.
Based loosely on Marilyn Monroe. You asked me who did Simon Bar Sinister.
Underdog.
Alan Swift.
Hmm.
He was an actor known for Mad Monster Party,
oh!
Diver Dan, and Underdog.
Wow. That's an impressive resume. For me. Like, I'd hire him based on that.
Thanks for adding for me.
For me, that's like the best resume ever. I would be so impressed by that resume. I would hit my buzzer on my intercom and I'd go, Miss Thompson, cancel our other interviews. We have a winner. This man gets the job.
He took his professional name from the last names of two of his favorite satirists, Fred Allen and Jonathan Swift.
Oh, that's cool.
That's all I have on him.
That's all I need to know.
Supplied the voices for many of the characters in the 1970s Hostess dessert cake commercials. Oh. Voices include Twinkie the Kid, Captain Cupcake, and Chief Big Wheel.
How cool! Honestly, that's excellent.
This is right up your alley. In fact, we should call this portion of the show Up Bill's Alley.
Up my alley. I'm fine with that. I know there's some hidden meaning in there, and I don't care. I'm all right with that.
Internet Movie Data Bill, IMDb, mm-hmm. is turning very much into Wikipedia, where sometimes the information is not correct. But I just want to read you about Alan Swift, who was the voice of Simon Bar Sinister in Underdog, if I may.
And Twinkie the Kid.
Yes, I'm sorry. And who was the other
That's
one?
That's excellent.
The host, Ho-Ho Kid, Captain Cupcake.
Captain Cupcake.
This is the last line of his bio.
Yeah.
Swift was cremated. His ashes were given to his family.
Oh.
Duh!
Well, that's who you traditionally give them to. You don't just deliver them door-to-door to people in this neighborhood.
in a Hostess cupcake.
Right. This tastes kind of ashy. What is that? That's your neighbor. He died. His last wish was to be given to his neighborhood. Given to the people. That's what he wanted. I wonder, Underdog is one of those cartoons that I don't know that it would hold up today. You know? Like, I loved it, but I think today's kids would just, they would look the other way. I don't think it would impress them the way it impressed me.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I hate to play audio without listening to it first, because...
There wasn't that much swearing in Underdog, except for Cad. He was always swearing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Cad.
Stop swearing, Cad!
Was that Simon?
Yeah.
Cad was his accomplice? His assistant?
His assistant, yep. He did all the heavy lifting, I thought.
All right, here is...
That's how fun this is.
When criminals in this world appear, bring the laws that they should fear, and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
Could just watch the whole episode here, right. And I'm not even
right.
looking at it.
So there was a period for me, and I've talked about this with Alan Reed, the guy who played Fred Flintstone for years and years and years, that when you'd see Alan Reed in a movie, or when I would see him in a movie, it was jarring, because you were watching Fred Flintstone's voice come out of a human being instead of out of a cartoon caveman. So there was a while when I was a kid, Wally Cox was a regular on Hollywood Squares, and those were in the days when I was watching Underdog regularly, when I was 4.
Yeah.
So whenever they would call on Wally Cox, it was hard for me to figure out how Underdog's voice... I mean, I understood it. He was an actor doing the voice, but it always just seemed strange to see a human being talking.
Yes.
But it was Underdog's voice, because he didn't change his voice even a little bit when he was Underdog. It was his voice.
And a very unique voice, so
very
really,
unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, great voice, very expressive voice, But it was just strange. They'd go, Wally Cox to block, and Peter Marshall would ask him a question. I'm like, look at this underdog's voice coming out of this guy. How's that possible?
I wonder if he and his roommate ever did scenes together.
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
He would run underdog scripts with Marlon Brando.
Could you please be Simon Bar-Sinister? All right, I'll be Simon Bar-Sinister. Ted! How's that sound, Wally?
You've made yourself laugh a lot today.
That was fun.
I think it's Steve Bertrand specs. I think you should wear them more frequently.
I'm going to wear them every day from now on. Why didn't they just give the part, some of the underdog parts to Marlon Brando? Wouldn't that have been great?
That would have been different.
Oh, that would have been so much fun.
Would have been different. We're going to take a break. After news, we're going to talk about some social etiquette rules that everyone should follow, at least to the best of your ability.
Kim, I like that you used the word bogus in a real news story. That was fun.
Yeah, bogus.
Thank you for that.
Anytime.
There were two kids that lived next door to me when I was growing up, Scott and Jeff. And whenever you said something to Scott and Jeff that they didn't agree with, they would both go, bogus.
I remember that term was like 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought you were going to say their names were Bo
and Gus.
I thought you were going to say their last name was Bogus or something like
that's
that.
That's funny.
Bogus. No, that's Wayne's World, right?
They
or Bill
said
and
it
Ted.
Before,
I get them confused.
Before it was immortalized in movies, they would just say it. Like they, you know how some kids think that you're always trying to fool them?
Right.
Scott and Jeff's personality was such that no matter what, on a daily basis, they thought you were trying to get one past them. So if you said anything... Hey, the baseball game was canceled. Oh, bogus. There's a baseball game.
That was a very popular word when we were growing up.
Yeah, it was.
To the max was used a lot.
To the max was used. Scott and Jeff were also masters of this. Later. Like if you said something that...
Oh, my God.
They would just say that all the time.
It's like Todd. Do they still talk like that?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I was thinking of some of those old... those sayings... To the max, definitely. Bogus. There were some other ones that were
totally.
Yeah. Here's another Scott and Jeffism. If you'd be walking past them in a hallway in school, they would not say hello or hi. They would extend their neck out, like they would just jolt their neck out a little bit as they were walking past, just
that's
like
a nod.
As if to acknowledge the fact that they know you. But
what the?
No
were
time
they burnouts?
To say hello.
Like freaks, did they wear? Like we had jocks and freaks. The freaks smoked pot. I was a frock because I was part freak, part jock.
They smoked punks.
You can't smoke a punk. What's
a
punk?
Yeah, a punk is like a weed. A punk is a weed, and they would light the end of it.
They would,
and they would smoke punks. Not in school. There was a no punk smoking policy at our school. But if you just see them walking around town. They always had a punk going.
All right. A punk is what is made out of horse manure, which is looks like a really skinny corn dog
that
you
would
light.
It looks like that, but is there horse manure involved in it?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was
made out. Wait, you're smoking horse manure?
Well, no. You couldn't inhale it because it was just on a stick.
Right.
What we used punks for was to light our firecrackers or sparklers.
Of course, yeah.
So they pretend smoked them.
So these are legit things that you could go out and buy. It's not something you rolled or...
You would go... There was a creek a half a block away from us.
Cattails?
Punks and cattails, I think, are slightly different. They're in the same weed family.
Oh, when you say weed, when I was like thinking weed, I was thinking
not marijuana.
Like, marijuana.
Actual
no.
weeds.
Okay.
Oh, they were actual
like
weeds.
A long piece
okay.
of grass?
Yeah, long grass.
I never
like
heard that called a punk.
No?
We had to buy punks. They were manufactured. It wasn't like it was just growing out in the wild.
Ours, we had, they were growing. Yeah, I mean, that's... Of course, the number one.
I guess not. I was a punk, but I don't remember.
You were Punky Brewster when you were growing up.
Yes, I was.
But they
I
always
don't
had
know.
That going.
Somebody who knows about punks, because we used to have to buy those. They were real cheap. They were.
Where would you buy them from?
Like at a fireworks store or back in the day when you could, I know you hate that expression.
Yeah.
Back when I was younger,
yes.
You could go to the Jewel and buy sparklers. I mean,
yeah,
it really
right.
wasn't difficult to buy it until Illinois outlawed them and you had to go to Indiana.
Yeah.
But you'd also pick up some punks to light it with. I have a scar on my upper thigh where I pretended to smoke a punk and it fell on my thigh and kind of burned through my skin.
They're dangerous, Kim.
They get, I mean, think
you
of those sparklers that we hit.
Tell kids to stay away from punk.
It's you safer to vape.
Let me show you kids what happens and just show them your scar.
Punk specialist.
Right. Punk specialist, Wendy Snyder. Yeah, you don't want to smoke punk. Look what happened to me. It's an ugly story.
I cannot find any information on the punks, but if somebody knows, we have a different number here. 312-235-2525.
We had a creek about a half a block away from us. On the other, there was our house and then another row of houses, and then there was a big creek.
We had a creek, too.
Our creek was voted the best creek in Illinois.
Ours was
my
Salt Creek.
Creek's better than yours.
Salt Creek's a pretty popular
you
creek.
You had a Salt Creek?
It was called Salt. It's called Salt Creek. Yeah.
Oh.
Pretty popular.
Ours was called Creek of Gold.
Of course it was.
Because instead of water, fresh of gold would just...
And I'm sure you could walk across it.
You could walk across it. It was, there were bubbly fountains. It was beautiful.
Whatever.
Was
I didn't
stunning.
Have a creek.
It was like...
Did you have a creek?
No.
No.
I didn't grow up in Wisconsin. That's...
When you think, I know this is a stereotype, but hear me out. When you think of Kentucky, you think there are creeks.
There are a lot of creeks.
Easy to get to,
You're
right?
correct about that. I lived in a court.
Oh.
Like a subdivision?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't envision subdivisions in Kentucky, which is really stupid of me not
there
to.
There would be, yeah.
I mean, it's not all like, you
rural,
know,
right.
sprawling fences and
right.
horses. And
right.
I think it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And hills and
yeah.
rolling hills.
Yeah, no. I could walk to McDonald's and Steak and Shake from my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just don't think of it that
yeah,
way.
Wow. I lived in a, you know.
We didn't have a Steak and
Louisville's
Shake.
Louisville's a city.
Yeah.
You probably, because we didn't really have them. Champaign was the one that Roger Ebert went to.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one in the Chicago metro area at all. It was like Champaign.
That was like our big thing. We could ride our bike to Steak and Shake or Ponderosa.
Oh, Ponderosa was not bogus.
Yeah. No,
it was anti-bogus.
Right, anti-bogus. We had a version of Steak and Shake that was called something like it. What was it called? Was it, what else rhymes with steak or shake? Cake? Was it Cake and Steak or Cake and Shake or something? There was one in Orland Park by me.
Really?
And everyone who knew about the real
it was like
Steak and Shake
steak
is like,
and it was a bogus Steak and Shake?
It was a bogus Steak. It said on the sign, a bogus Steak and Shake. And we're like, don't put that on the sign. Then everyone's going to know. But we would go there, and I knew about real Steak and Shakes because when we would travel every once
right.
in a while, we would have lunch there
yeah,
or something.
Whatever. They traveled on World Traveler Bill F. I'm ambidextrous. I can wave with both hands.
So we went there grudgingly. We're like, all right, we'll go here, but we know it's not as good as the real Steak and Shake.
Right. Nothing like a steak burger platter with baked beans.
I would hear Roger Ebert. He'd be on with Stephen Gary, and he would talk about it, and I thought he was going to cry.
I know.
He was like so in love
and
with
didn't
it.
Didn't it make you want one so badly?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I almost hopped on a train to go myself to Champaign Urbana, or now it's Urbana Champaign, I guess.
Wait, is that true?
I think they switched it. I think because Urbana was bigger.
Because is that why?
I think so.
I didn't know they could reverse the order. Wow.
I think they did.
Wow.
I have to look that up, but I was looking at something that was the alternative to Steak and Shake, and I can't find that.
I know there was one in Orland Park, and I passed another one once, and it looked like they were going for Steak and Shake.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't. But it was like cake and steak or cake and shake or something.
You would have gone to that?
Yeah.
It should be steak first, like steak and cake, not cake and steak.
It wasn't steak and cake. What was it? But everything
not steak
about
and
it,
ale.
It was not steak and ale, but that was a real place too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, that was a real
that
place.
That was a chain.
We had that in Louisville.
But they were
you
so
did?
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Those were all over the place.
They were fancy. You know,
those were nice.
What was your grocery chain in Kentucky?
Kroger and Winn-Dixie.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We had Jewel and Dominick's pretty
yeah.
much. A&P for a while.
For
we had
a
A&P
bit.
Too for a little while, but mainly Kroger.
Did you
and
have
Winn-Dixie.
National? We had
no.
National.
What was National?
National was a chain.
In the rich suburbs? Because I never remember it.
No, they were kind of all over the place.
Like a grocery store?
Yeah.
There was not one near us in Brookfield.
There wasn't. Was there Raggedy Ann stores by you?
Certified Raggedy
certified.
Ann, yeah.
When he was right. traveling the world, he
yeah,
went to National.
Yes. That was Steve Bertrand Travel allowed us to make that possible.
Wendy, punks were awesome. They were light brown in color. We had bags of them, lit them for fireworks, pretended to smoke them. Totally awesome,
yeah.
age 49. But you'd buy them in bags. You didn't just pick them.
We were able to, you know, because of the rich area we lived in, Wendy, we were able to pick them, to cultivate them. They were punk
plantations. His were dipped in gold by the Gold Creek.
Gold punks.
Well, and, you know, you had your people in the '70s who grew weed. You guys grew punks.
Scott and Jeff controlled the punk market in our area. They were like the El Chapo of the punk world. You couldn't talk directly to Scott and Jeff. You'd have to talk to Mark. He'll set you up with Scott or Jeff. All right.
That's why they
you know, cricked their neck
back. They didn't have time to say hello because they were busy controlling the marketplace.
Punks.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. All right, we're almost out of time. I hate to break up this party, but we have to talk about these list of manners. We got so many of them, I almost feel like we should save them for another day.
Do part one today and do part two at Christmas time.
Because that's when we'll need manners again.
Yeah.
Some of these are just...
Is that the polite thing to do?
These are just
things put together by Country Living Magazine, and these are 50 social etiquette rules that everyone should follow. We don't have to go... Some of them are pretty self-explanatory, but we'll go through the important ones. Say please and thank you. Honestly...
That's just a given.
That's all you do, especially to those closest to you, which I'll be honest with you, that's maybe where I'm a little lax. We take our family for granted sometimes. So say please and thank you to your friends and family.
Did your parents used to say this, like if you were in a situation where somebody gave you something, within a second of them handing it to you, your mom or dad would go, what do you say?
Yeah.
I'm getting to it. I will say it. I know.
These are just ways to make... I'm going to change the topic of this to things that make the world a better place. How about that?
That's acceptable.
Smile.
Yeah.
Smile at the cashier, the bank teller, your coworker.
Yep. Oh, Wendy. You see that smile, Kim?
Even if he or she doesn't smile back.
I'm not smiling back.
But doesn't that make your day? You're walking down the street, you see someone.
I always go, what's that idiot smiling about?
Well, I'll catch someone, our eyes will catch. And just for a minute, it's kind of awkward because you're like, oh, we're looking at each other. So you just let out a big smile, and either they, A, smile back and you have a great day, or two, that's what they say. They look at you funny and go, what is wrong with that guy?
Something is wrong with
that
idiot.
It really make you feel good when somebody opens the door for you, man or woman, just holds the door rather than having it, you know, just smack in your back in your face.
Yep. At our old building, if you came in on the lower entrance, the parking entrance, sometimes if you didn't catch an elevator, it took quite a while to get another elevator. Right. So I would always go out of my way. If I saw somebody coming in, I would hold it. And one time, I don't know if you remember this.
I do.
I hold it for somebody. And she comes in, and then another guy's coming in, and I hold it, and this woman next to me goes, some of us have places to be.
Well, sorry. I will, in her defense,
sorry.
If you kept holding it for stragglers, you'd be there for 15 minutes.
It was two people, probably.
But there could have been a third or fourth or fifth behind. It's like, what's the proper time for a cutoff?
I agree with that, but...
But she shouldn't have said that.
Did you see anybody else coming?
No.
So
but at that point, I'm like, I hope more people come.
Because I'm going to hold it for you now.
You would have been late for the show just to prove to this woman.
I'm flipping the switch on this.
Some of us have places to be.
That was rude.
Did you mean you?
Yeah. Did you mean I do a radio show at a specific time?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Underdog. So I got somewhere to be, too.
Well, according to Country Living, Kim, the next one was hold the door for the person behind you. And if someone holds the door for you, what do you say?
You say thank you.
Thank you.
These are etiquette rules. Step outside to answer phone calls. Sometimes you have to take the call, and sometimes you do. You being a grandmother now, if something's happening, if you get a call from one of your kids, I'm sorry, I got to get it.
But we're on the 18th floor, Wendy. You don't want to step outside
for that.
Well,
you'd like me to, but I am not about to. Nice trick.
You're sure there's a fire escape, Bill? Yeah, there's a fire escape. Just going out that window.
But if the call is that important, go ahead and answer it. But it's not fun to hear your conversation when we're trapped behind you in line. I disagree with that. If my kids call, and I will try and keep my voice down, I really will. But I got to answer the phone.
Me too. I'm the same way.
But I do keep my voice down. There are people... Honest to God, right. I don't know. Do they want people to hear that someone has to pick up their prescription for their herpes medication? I mean, it's like they'll talk so loudly about personal things.
Right, right.
Like, hello, I'm right here. I can hear you.
Well,
don't
and now
you care?
Too, even walking in the city now that especially the weather's gotten nicer, you know, people have their AirPods in and people are just talking and, you know, you're hearing everything going on with everybody. It's sometimes it can be quite interesting.
At my health club, guys will bring their music devices and not even headphones, just play their music wherever they're working out.
Out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, without
that's not
headphones?
Cool.
Yeah.
That's rude.
It's horrible, right?
Because I'm sure there's music being piped in from the top, too, right?
You can't even hear that music.
That's annoying.
The music the health club is providing is secondary because they've got music going.
Citizens arrest.
Citizens arrest.
Can't you tell the manager, like, that? Could you just... Because I'm sorry, I think you need to have personal listening devices.
I've been tempted a couple times to bring it up to the managers, but I'm saving it for a time that I'll need it. I don't want to be the guy who always comes and complains. But there's been a couple of times where I'm like, first of all, your music choices are terrible. You know, second of all, why so loud? Just put headphones
in. Right, put in headphones and listen
to
whatever you want.
And is it all the time? Because sometimes if you forget your headphones, I can see where maybe you have to do it.
No, these are guys who just kind of assume.
Don't care.
I've put this music mix together. Everyone's going to enjoy it.
Here is a nice thing from Country Living Magazine that I think people should pay attention to. Give people a pass. Cranky salesperson, nasty driver, you have no idea what's going on in someone else's pot or what's going on with that person right now. Maybe your dog just died. Maybe he just got some bad health news. You don't have to reward ugly behavior with your own nastiness, which only perpetuates the cycle. Isn't that great advice?
There's something to that.
It is. But sometimes you just don't think about that. You know?
Sometimes you're very quick to judge.
Yes.
Right.
You know?
But if you let's say you're out for a night with your husband or wife and you're in a restaurant, and even though the waiter or waitress has had a bad day, you don't want to ruin your night out.
But why do you give them the control to let that ruin your night? I mean, as long as you place an order,
right?
You just go, oh, someone's having a bad day, and then go back to gazing into your loved one's eyes.
Yes, yes. As long as there's time for that, then I'm okay.
It's hard sometimes. I don't usually complain if somebody's jerky employer. Yesterday, I will tell you this. I had a very nice employee. I went to Q Barbecue in LaGrange. It was so warm yesterday, I felt like having pulled pork, and I didn't want to go through the trouble of cooking it myself. So I just went and got a couple of pounds with some barbecue sauce and coleslaw. The guy who was working the front counter was the nicest person I have ever dealt with in my life.
Very nice.
I
bet you told him that.
I didn't, and
you
I'm
didn't
kind
tell
of a,
that? I'm
no.
Surprised.
That is sort of like me.
Yeah.
But he was just like, I don't. Can you get it in pounds? Yes. How many does it feed? 3 big sandwiches to a pound. What about our sides? He was just so helpful. And then I was sitting down waiting for my stuff. This woman comes in and couldn't make up her mind if she wanted a pulled pork or ribs.
Yeah.
And he just was so nice to her. He's like,
get a combo.
Well, he was like, you know, are you having difficulty deciding? And she goes, yeah, I came in wanting to get a pulled pork. And then the guy goes, but the ribs are talking to you, aren't they? And she goes, how did you know? Yes, they are. Mm. It just was
he was so nice.
Pleasant.
Excellent.
It's always,
and that makes you just want to go back.
And
you know?
I should have told him. I should have just said, well, when you go back.
Manager,
yeah, said the manager.
Yeah, I would ask for the manager and go, hey, that guy is really good.
His name's Will. I will call over there today.
Yeah.
He just really just made me smile, his interaction with the other people.
That's excellent.
That was a nice little
thing. A young guy or a grizzled veteran?
He was a younger guy.
Yeah.
And
he likes his job.
Yeah, and you could totally tell.
Yeah. Could you see hopes and dreams in his eyes, Wendy?
I don't know. I can't quite tell.
All right. I just wondered.
I think those were. I don't know if he wants to.
Or maybe just contacts that had hopes and dreams on the contact.
That I think is probably. One had hope, one had dream.
Yeah.
So give people a pass. You know, sometimes you're not going to always get that great person.
Right.
And I mean, really, don't let it ruin your day.
That's true.
How about this? Look at the person who is speaking to you. Seriously.
Always.
Look up from your smartphone. Doesn't that drive you nuts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I'm sure I am guilty of it.
Oh no, you, Kim?
Yes. I'm bad.
I would place this normally on kids that grew up with devices in their hands at all times, but we have no excuse. We lived in a time where those devices didn't exist, where
it's
you
true.
Had to have personal contact with others.
I just, if I'm talking to somebody, I kind of like them to have eye contact. And you know, I feel bad sometimes because sometimes you're talking to me and I'm Googling something to try, and I just...
Yeah.
I try to be respectful because I just think it's rude if you don't look someone in the eyes when you're speaking.
You know, it's funny you say that, Bill, but I think sometimes younger people have better rules about like putting your phone down, taking your
phone. Oh, do they? Yeah.
Than than older people.
Yeah?
Because, like, my kids, you know, now that I have a granddaughter, they won't turn the TV on during the day because they don't want her to get used to, like, sitting and watching TV.
That's good advice.
I never did that.
Yeah.
You always had it on in the
background. I always had background noise.
Yeah, too. Huh.
But they're used to the technology. Right. To us, we're still getting acclimated to it, and it's, like, amazing to us. That's all they know. So
I mentioned this to Wendy the other day. I went to see a movie, and as much as I love seeing movies in theaters, it's so distracting now to have people on their phones during a movie checking their messages.
Yeah.
Or reading the news stories while the movie's on.
Don't they turn the brightness down? Because whenever I'm in a theater, I turn the brightness so you can barely see it.
But even a little bit of light is still distracting.
You know, if you're going to do that, then just stay home and watch a movie.
But I think kids who grew up always having a device in their hand just think, well, just like at home, when the TV is on, I can do more than one thing. I can read my screen. But they're not taken into account
of
everybody else.
Even when you're home watching TV and you're on your phone,
sure.
I know, you miss something.
Yeah.
You miss things.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but you can rewind when you're at home. You can't tell the phone guy, hey, could you rewind
back.
It? Yeah, exactly.
I didn't hear what that guy said.
Country living. These are things, etiquette rules that you should do. Let someone go in front of you in line. We promise it'll make his or her day. That's all.
I do that.
I disagree on that one.
Why do you say that?
Because of the no good deed goes unpunished. Because if you let somebody in line, and I've done this at Panda Express on more than one occasion, then they order the food that you wanted, and you got to wait an extra 8 minutes, and they go, no, we're all out of the sweet and sour pork. You got to wait a little while now.
How often does that happen?
It's happened more than once.
Really?
Yeah.
Stop going to Panda Express.
I had that issue once or twice at Chipotle where, like, you let somebody go, and then they get the last guac,
That's
and you got to wait
saying.
For the guac.
Yeah.
Guys, they'll make more.
But they always have plenty.
Listen to you. No more pork and no more guac.
Pork and guac.
I think it's nice if you're at like very frequently at Walgreens, I am there and stock up on a bunch of things. I'll grab some sodas because they seem to have the cheapest Cokes and 7-Ups and Sprites. And I have a lot of stuff, so very frequently I'll let someone who only has two items.
In a situation like that, always.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, I always let people have.
Although I'm flummoxed when sometimes there's, people with a full cart and I'm there, with two things.
And they're like, and they stand there. That happened to me just recently. Somebody had a full cart. I had one thing, and I asked, do you mind if I go ahead? And they would not let me go.
They wouldn't let you?
No.
You actually asked.
I did. I said, I have one thing. Do you mind? I'm kind of in a hurry. I mean, they had a full cart, and they said no.
How do they justify that?
Well,
that's
maybe
horrible.
They're in a hurry, too, guys. Again,
don't
judge the people. You don't know what's going on in their pot.
I still remember as a kid in a White Hen Pantry, I bought a certain amount. I can't remember if I bought 5 packs or 6 packs of baseball cards. So baseball cards then were 10 cents a pack.
Was it? Was there still gum in there?
There was still the chalk/gum.
I liked that gum.
Me too. I did too.
But I didn't take into account the tax on the cards. So I was a little bit short. I was like 8 cents short or 9 cents short. And the lady behind me goes, because I was going to put a pack back. She goes, I've got it. And she reaches in and it was like 9 cents.
So nice.
But honestly, I was like 11 when that happened and I still think about it. So I can't tell you how many times I've been in line where somebody's a little bit short.
Right.
It's on me.
Yeah.
I've got
this. Oh, well, you don't pay the whole bill.
I don't pay the whole bill.
Yeah. Okay.
But I pay whatever they still
That's
need
That's an
to
Ellen
make up.
Trick, not a Bill Left trick.
Right. Right. I don't have Ellen money.
And something I think we're a little too old for. We missed the boat on this one because I know kids today do it. Cough or sneeze into your elbow.
Yeah.
We did not learn the vampire thing or whatever you call it.
My daughter Reese has, you have to cough one way, you have to sneeze another way, and I can't remember.
What?
Because they taught us just cover your mouth, right?
Right, but you think about it, you're going to get, germs going that way. So
right.
Now you're supposed to cough or sneeze into your elbow.
It looks like Bela Lugosi's got the flu.
To sneeze into your neck.
Right.
But my kids do that without even thinking. I've tried to retrain myself every time I have to sneeze. I can't do it that quickly. John Williams has joined us. Did you want to talk about that?
What are you talking about? I just got here.
The vampire sneeze.
Yeah.
That when you sneeze now, John, you can't just cover your mouth.
That's
you have to
I
pretend
it. I was doing
you're
it in
Christopher
my
Lee.
You do?
You do?
I did it on the L yesterday.
But somebody must have taught you that because we didn't grow up with that.
Right. That's something I've only done in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah. And you're a better person.
You know, we have to take a quick break. Can we take a quick break and then talk to John Williams?
Yes.
I didn't realize you were on the stream today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's
early
a White
game.
Sox game.
Baseball.
Game.
Kim, thank you.
Thank
quick break.
You.
And then we'll come back and talk to John Williams here on the Stream of Consciousness. All right, you were all sitting here having a little party, and I realized we had some dead air on the stream, which, if it's dead air on the stream...
Highest rated moment of the broadcast so far, Wendy. People are loving it.
It's dead air on the stream, but nobody hears it. Is it really...
Well, that's where I was going, John, but I took my words back before I even said them, because a lot of people do listen to the stream live right now.
Oh, no kidding. Hello, Arizona. Go. So, did you guys talk about Dr. Dow, the guy that got dragged off the United flight?
No.
Okay, we're going to play some of the original audio and then what he said on Good Morning America and talk about that.
He has not done well after that.
Well, he's had problems.
Yeah.
He can't run marathons and he's had headaches and he lost some teeth.
Yeah.
I have so little sympathy for that guy.
Yeah.
Elif and I were watching the interview he did on Good Morning America and I thought, America would hate me if I had interviewed Dr. Dow first.
Because why?
Because I had no sympathy for him then and I don't now. If they say get off the plane, get the hell off the plane. Right. Get off the plane. And I know you're a doctor who's real anxious to open up a VA clinic in Kentucky or whatever his thing was, but these pilots had to get to, there's a plane full of people waiting in San Francisco and they needed the pilots to get there. Whatever.
Right.
I mean, you don't get to decide.
Yeah.
Everybody feels like their reason for being on the plane is important. You're going to your kid's birthday party. Whatever. Get off the plane.
You'd just give in right away because I'd find myself going, is there any way I could, you know, I got to do this.
I'll help out. Like maybe I'll serve drinks. Yeah, I'll be one of the airline attendants. Yeah, no, I'll fly. I could fly.
Right. It's easy.
So we're going to do a little bit of that. Also, there's a documentary about what happened to Columbine from a Columbia grad who was one of the students at Columbine that day. So then she came here to college, learned documentary filmmaking. They're going to debut her film next week at the Music Box Theater.
Oh, nice.
Rick Kogan wrote about it in the paper today and said, it is fantastic. I haven't seen it, but just before I came in here, I interviewed her. And it's a really compelling story about what happened that day and what's happened since. And that's the point of her documentary.
That sounds great.
So good. We'll do that as well.
Have a good show.
Have a good time.
I think we will. So you want me to introduce the news now?
Sure.
All right, here I go.